good to see everybody that's here today. If you want to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to begin a study of a subject that should help us all in our growth as we strive to enter into the gates of heaven. Not that the gates are literal. Figure of speech there, based on our Bible class this morning. Good discussion we had. Before I get into today's lesson, we're going to talk about how you're not your own measuring stick. You don't set the standard yourself. What I want to be clear in is that that does not mean we ought not listen to our conscience. We're supposed to have a good conscience, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5. The point that we're going to arrive at throughout this lesson is that our conscience, our mind, our heart needs to be guided appropriately. Not by our own feelings, emotions, or desires, but by the right information. That's why we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Likewise, if you look at Proverbs 23, verse 4, it says, "Labor not to be rich," that's one point, but then the verse ends with, "Cease from thine own wisdom." In the New Testament, we're told not to be wise in our own conceits, Romans 12 and verse 16. As you look at the scriptures, it is abundantly clear that our wisdom is not to be trusted. What's that mean? Well, people have these ideas. Well, I think this is the best way to approach it. I think that where a Christian does not err is when he or she backs up and says, "I want to know what God says I ought to do with this situation." You know, we have a great thing that we do every last Sunday of the month in our Bible class where we take questions written by other people. And one thing that we repeatedly see is that there's rarely a blanket answer for any question. That as circumstances change, situations change, the Bible doesn't, but the way you may answer the problem does, and how you might approach it does. Whereas human wisdom, we step back and we think, what's the best way for me to handle this? And we don't use a standard, we get off. Use an illustration that you ought to be able to somewhat relate to. If you went out and you were to buy a new refrigerator and you have a certain area that that refrigerator will fit into, and I don't know what the width of a normal refrigerator is off the top of my head. So let's just say 36 inches. Don't like go home and say, "Well, I'm buying a new refrigerator and the preacher said it's 36 inches wide." I don't know. But let's just say it's 36 inches. And let's say, you've got a yardstick and you decide that you're going to use that yardstick. And then you're walking and you're like, "Nah, I'll just eyeball it. If I think it'll fit, I'll fit." You know, you do the whole, "I held my arms out this wide and it seemed like it was going to fit in that spot." So you go to Sears, Lowe's, wherever you're going to buy that new refrigerator. And you're standing there and you're going, "Yeah, it was about yay wide." The delivery comes. You're about 12 inches off. Well, it looked yay wide, right? The guy telling his wife, "I held my hands out. It certainly looked like it was going to fit." You didn't measure. You didn't use a proper standard of measurement. That's what happens when we approach situations in life without using the Bible to properly measure what we should do, how we should do it. Sometimes you'll go to the department store to buy that refrigerator, and the person will say, "Oh, it's a standard size. It fits everywhere." You know, not all refrigerators are the same size. They're not. Neither are stoves or microwaves. So even though the guy at the department store said, "Oh, no, it'll fit. It's a standard size." Based on whose standard? Whose measurements? Certainly not the person that built your house that made it a little smaller than the quote-unquote standard refrigerator size, right? So you have to use measurements. In our spiritual walk, we've got to use the Bible as our measuring stick. We can't do the, "Yeah, it looks about right" kind of approach when heaven and hell are in the balance. You know, it's a bad thing to get a refrigerator and have to send it back and pay the delivery and everything else. It's a little bit worse to stand before the Lord having measured incorrectly on your spiritual life. When we look at the Bible, God tells us that there's a difference between His wisdom and our wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 13. Notice the difference between our wisdom in this text and God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. In my speech, in my preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but the demonstration of the Spirit and power, and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So notice the premise of what we're about to discuss. Paul said, "I came preaching something different than human wisdom would have done. I came preaching the power of God." So as we go forward, keep that in mind. He says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." So what's the wisdom of this world do? It comes to nothing. The wisdom of even leaders comes to nothing. Verse 7, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So when we're reading the Scriptures, we're studying what Paul wrote here. We're not reading the wisdom of Paul. We're reading the wisdom of God. Paul says the wisdom of the world, which if he were using his own, what is what it would be, comes to naught. So as we proceed in this lesson, let's remember that there's a difference between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. Even the wisest, the chiefest of wise men. Stay in 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 3. Notice what the Lord has Paul write here. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20. Says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." So when I look at the Scriptures, I see that God's warning me away from trying to become wise in a worldly way and use that as my standard. It's not that worldly wisdom isn't useful, but it's not useful as our standard. It's not useful as what we measure ourselves by spiritually at all. Look back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 55. For those that come to the Lord, and this point's true in the New Testament as well, you have to think differently. Part of the problem some people have, and you have many Bible discussions with people, is that they may be baptized into Christ. They may have heard the gospel, believed it. They may have changed to some degree, but they kept their way of thinking. If I've come to Christ and I kept my way of thinking, I'm going to be in trouble. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." It takes some humility to acknowledge that. But once you do, you find the life of a Christian much easier. Because you walk away from your own way of thinking, your own way of measuring things out, your way of reasoning, and you apply what God says. But then you get people who don't necessarily consider themselves wise, but they consider themselves to have a conscience void of evil. And therefore they make statements like, "I just listen to my heart. I do what my heart tells me." I'm sure we've all heard that. I know there have been several Bible classes where Sheila brought up somebody she works with, that's the standard of that lady. What her heart says. I'm gonna have to follow my heart. That's even a Hallmark card, isn't it? Follow your heart, the ways lead home, or something weird like that statement. Look at what the Bible says about that. Go back to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Now that's plain and clear. Our hearts can be used against us. That is, you yourself, your own heart, can be used against you. In Jeremiah chapter 17, notice what verse 9 says. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If I trust my own heart, whom the Lord said don't do, I need to understand that there are going to be times where my heart's influenced not by the right standard of measurement, not by what God's going to judge me on, but what I want. People can't see the truth often because it's blinded by desire. They only see what they want to see. And on top of that, they interpret everything that is true based upon what they want. Like the person who just wants that double wide refrigerator. You know, the kind of person that says, I know I can make it fit. You can't fit an extra 6 inches in that hole. It's not going to happen. Either the refrigerator has to change, the hole has to change, or you have to find a different refrigerator. But unless you're willing to do some construction, it's not going to fit. The same is true with us. When we look at what we want in life, we have to measure and make sure God's made room for it there. Make sure it fits. Make sure it's not going to keep us out of where we want to be in eternity. If you want your heart to be able and right as part of your guiding process, you could do that if you allow it to be guided. Look back at Ezra chapter 7. I can look to my heart as long as it's a guided heart. Properly guided heart. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra serves as a good example here. He says, for Ezra hath prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I mean, we obey from the heart, Romans 6 and verse 17. If I prepare my heart, and I'm going to accept God's yardstick, so to speak, in a spiritual way, I'm going to measure myself right. My heart's going to be in the right place. I'm not going to try to fit things into my spiritual life that God says do not fit. I'm going to look at the instructions. I'm going to make sure that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do. However, there are people that can read those verses that we've just gone after, and they'll still make statements like, but it's got me in the right places in the past, so I still trust it. Or, well, I've not made a bad decision yet. Just to be clear, based on what we just read, if you trust in your heart, it's not led you in the right place because you've done it. If you trust in your own wisdom, God says that's foolish. Why are you doing it? But just for another level of input, in the New Testament, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 12 says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. I don't want to use other people as my standard. I don't want to use myself as my standard. That's foolish. Verse 17 and 18 says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I want to make sure that my approval is not of myself, but of God. And in so doing, I need to recognize that His Word is the standard. It's the measuring stick. Not what do I think, what do I want, what do I believe. Who cares? That doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But what does God care? That He's given us this measuring stick. Look at James chapter 1. There is a standard that God tells us to live by. He tells us how to live by it. The standard, James 1, 21 through 25 says this, wherefore, Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In James 1:22, it says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or looking in a mirror, in other words. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When I was preparing for this lesson, a lot of different illustrations came to mind. But based on what the Lord says here, here's a good one. You look in the mirror and you see something about you that needs to be fixed. What most people do is they walk away without making the effort of fixing it. They disregard it. They forget all about it. Oh well, when you look into the Word of God and you see that something's amiss, don't walk away. Keep looking. Find the answer on how to fix it. Be a doer. Don't just sit down. You know, there are people that will literally open their Bibles up and spend 5 minutes reading a chapter. And at the end of reading that chapter, ask them, so what'd you learn? Oh, I just read it. What good was reading it if you're not going to do anything? So you bought your new refrigerator. It doesn't fit in the hole. You decided to make a bigger hole. But it's one of these fancy refrigerators, right? It's got buttons everywhere. The other night I saw some refrigerators that had, I thought it was like a space command center. It was lit up and all kinds of different things. You know, I was just sitting there pushing the buttons and I'm like, oh, I'm in a store. I probably shouldn't keep doing this. Just wondering, just do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Just all kinds of different functions on this refrigerator. You get the instruction book. 80 pages, and you read it. What good is it if you don't know how to use the freezer? You walk away and say, well, I read the instruction book. Why didn't you stop on the section that said, here's the settings for the freezer? Because I'll tell you what, some of these refrigerators are getting pretty high tech. Like the one that Katrina and I were looking at the other night, not that we need a refrigerator. We were just kind of curious how a refrigerator could be $3,400 or whatever it was. It's like, wow, glad we don't need a refrigerator. But they had, not only did they have a freezer, but they had a section in the freezer that would separately be for something else. I don't really know what, because I didn't read the instructions. But then in the refrigerator, it had a Pepsi can area, or not Pepsi per se, but you could store sodas in it. And you could set certain temperatures for that section. I'm like, whoa, this is too much. And freeze it or not freeze it, that's what I need. The rest of this stuff is just too much. I'm not interested in it. I'm not going to buy it because I'm not going to read the 80 pages. Now, I'm going to stay with the simple. But if I buy the difficult and I don't ever read how to use it, and I go in the freezer to get my nice frozen steak out, and it's like green and everything else because like I had the temperature in the freezer to 45 degrees somehow, I have a problem. I may have read the instruction book, but I didn't learn anything about how to operate that freezer. When you open the Bible and you just read a chapter, you walk away, you forget what you've learned, and you move on, it's profited you nothing. Not at all. Maybe sometimes you ought not get past two verses before you stop and think, what's this saying to me? The verses we just read are telling us to take the time to think and reflect and do what we're reading and not just blow through it as quickly as we can. When we consider what the Word of God is, in contrast to some of the things we've talked about earlier, man's wisdom, it's not very consistent. Man's wisdom changes. I mean, all along the way. Look at Psalm 119. God's Word is a consistent standard. Psalms 119, verse 89 says this, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, if you ever look at the laws of our land, there are some people that pay way too much attention to. Every law in our land is subject to change. Sometimes they change it twice in a day. And then there's a court somewhere else that decides that they're going to rule something else that changes that law in another way. Man's law changes over and over and over and over again and over again. And there's all kinds of things always going on based on different factors. God's law, you know, even though the Old Testament was a temporary law, it's still forever settled in heaven. We still read it today. It's unchanged. Outside of it being translated, it's unchanged. Same thing in the New Testament, Matthew 24:35. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Man's standards, man's wisdom changes. The Lord's does not. So when we measure ourselves, whether it be the Old Testament or the New, we're still seeing the mind of God. We're still seeing God's wisdom. We're still seeing it how He looks at things. That hasn't changed. We can learn. We can grow. You look at man, you know, what man considered wrong 10 years ago doesn't so much today. Always standard. Man's wisdom standard always changing. In fact, not only is it always changing, but it's extremely inconsistent. You know, have you ever met those people that are strongly opinionated? Like they have something to say about everything and they're quick to do it. Like, well, I know what I would do in that case, right? I had a discussion not long ago. We were talking about the justice system in our country. And this person said that they wanted to serve on a jury. And they look forward to punishing evildoers. And I said, well, what if all the evidence isn't presented? What if you don't have all the evidence? Well, what do you mean by that? For example, Katrina and I were in a car accident back in the 90s. We got rear-ended, guy going 55 miles an hour. We were stopped at a red light. We got rear-ended. Both of us were taken to the hospital in ambulance. 4 years later, we had to go back to Ohio. We lived in Pennsylvania at the time. We had to go back to Ohio to go to court over the damages and the hospital bills and everything else. We lost. We lost the case. How do you get rear-ended and lose the case? In court, you're not allowed to say the word insurance company. Ordered by the judge, if you say anything about insurance, the case is going to be thrown out. So the opposing lawyer, Katrina's medical bills had been paid and everything, made me out on the stand to look like a liar because he said, well, why was your wife taken care of and you aren't? And I'm like, well, I didn't put myself in an ambulance. I was just taken. I'm not allowed to say the insurance company paid her. So this 18-year-old boy at the time that were in court, or whatever he was, 19, he got up on the stand and he said, yes, I rear-ended him. He told all the facts. Definitely clear-cut case, but here's what the lawyer did. He made it look out that this wealthy older man is suing this young man, and we're not allowed to say insurance. So they painted this young man, you got a job and you're struggling, right? Yes. Painted me, he said, so how much money a year do you make? Well, I quadruple what he makes. But I'm suing this poor young kid. No, we were suing the insurance company for nothing more than the hospital bills. But we lost because we weren't allowed to present the evidence. It was stricken. It was held out because insurance is not allowed to be said. So you really want to sit on a jury? By the way, if you're ever in a car accident case, just so you all know this, they're actually suing insurance companies, not people. But in court, that will not be stated. It will be stated Brian versus Tom. It won't be Brian versus State Farm. So you know that. Just fact is, in the court of law, there are things that the jury doesn't get to hear on every case. That is factual at times. That may change the difference between the death penalty and freedom. So man's wisdom is, well, I want to punish evildoers. Godly wisdom is, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. John 7:24. When you know that you can't possibly know the facts, it's hard to make a judgment. But people with worldly wisdom think, well, if the guy was caught with a murder weapon and this happened, he must be guilty. Not necessarily. Don't be in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? Well, that standard where that person says, I want to judge this person, I want to do this, I want to do that, are hard pressed to stand. In the Bible, there was a guy like that. His name was David. Look back at 2 Samuel chapter 12. So you want to sit on the jury of a murder trial. Look at what happened to David and look at some godly wisdom. 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 12. Look at how man can be inconsistent, self-righteous. Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came unto him and said, there are two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. The poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. And when he had brought him and nourished up, grew up together with him, with his children, did eat his own meat, drank his own cup, lay in his bosom, it was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man. He spared to take of his own flock and his own field to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb, dressed it for that man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Look at David, man. He's indignant, isn't he? But you know what he did in the previous chapter? He took a man who was a soldier in his army. He took his wife. Committed adultery. Got her pregnant. And then sent that man to the front lines of battle to die so that he could marry that woman and conceal the pregnancy as though it was some intended thing and raise that child as though everything was okay from the beginning. So, picking up at verse 7, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives, thy bosom, gave the house of Israel and the house of Judah. If it had been too little, I would moreover have given you such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil thing? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. And the Lord goes on to talk about how he's going to punish him with the sword not coming out of his house, and he's going to take the life of that child. Think about it, brethren. Couldn't that be you or me? Get indignant over something somebody has done and forget about our own transgressions? Man's inconsistent. We are inconsistent. We sometimes forget what we've done in the past. We sometimes don't look at how God's been merciful for us. And when we use our own wisdom and our own judgment, we're going to be like David. Kill him. Take his life. We never looked in the mirror to see, I just took my own life. I'm the man. Sometimes we've got to back up. And we've got to use proper judgment. That's why we have the Word of God. It's a balanced standard. It allows us to see ourselves for ourselves. If we judge ourselves and we judge other people through our own eyes and our own wisdom, our standard of judgment is always going to be wrong. It's going to be tainted in some way. We're not going to remember things. One time I was having a discussion with a very good brother in Christ. And I mean a sincere brother in Christ. And he said to me about somebody who had a criminal past, he said, I don't believe people can change. And I looked at him and I said, do you think I'm a good man? Yes. I would trust you with anything. You would. Yeah. Well, I have a criminal past. I was arrested as a teenager. I did some bad things. Some horrible things. I was a bad person. I was in the world to the nth degree. What do you mean people can't change? Paul was a murderer. On the other hand, Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years and then killed himself. So maybe the people we need to worry about the most are the people that have been walking with the Lord the longest. Now, based on that standard of judgment, that would be the wisdom, wouldn't it? We need to step back and think about things through God's perspective. People can change. And we can be wrong. We can be people who are not consistent. Because our standard of judgment is often flawed because we think with human wisdom. We judge according to appearance. We're off the mark because we're not wise enough to make those decisions. And on top of all that, when we measure ourselves and then by ourselves and then we become inconsistent, you know what we talked about 2 weeks ago or week whatever ago on a Tuesday night, those of us that assemble in Romans 2:1 says, that therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whatsoever thou that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou judgest doeth the same things. If we use ourselves as a standard and we're inconsistent, we're going to fall into trouble. I have a side point for you. The Word of God is the consistent standard. And you have people who walk according to their own wisdom that are inconsistent. But then you have a hybrid. You have the person who says, I'm going to live according to the Bible. But what they do is they constantly twist the Scriptures to still apply their own wisdom, but say they're using the Bible. People who look at the Word of God and they already have a judgment. And then they go looking for the verses that they think supports that judgment and take everything out of context, take everything away from what it means, and they twist the Word of God to reach the conclusion that they want to reach for whatever rhyme or reason, or we should say unreason. We talked about recently, but let's look at it so we all can see this. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 3. Some of us were in this study, others weren't. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning of verse 15, it says, account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, written unto you, as also in his epistle, speaking those things in which some are hard to understand. Notice this, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That word rest means to twist. As they do the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We don't want to take God's standard and corrupt it, twist it. You know the person who takes the measuring tape and they say, yep, I need to get this into 36 inches, and then they bend it. Looks good to me. Well, you just made a tent with the measuring tape. But if you held it out straight, it's not 36 inches, buddy. It's not going to fit. No. You don't have room, or whatever the case might be. People do that with the Word of God. They twist it. They turn it. They make it say what they want it to say. And what you just read is they do that to their own destruction. To their own destruction. There are people ever learning, 2 Timothy 3:7, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they approach the consistent standard dishonestly. They want to arrive at conclusions. And anybody that wants to do that, you could take the Bible and make it say anything you want it to say. You can twist it into anything that you want to be there. You want to believe it, you can find the verse to twist it, turn it, leave a part out, take it out of context. But if you want to go to heaven, you leave your wisdom aside when you open this book. And you measure yourself by the standard as it's written, not as it's read. As it's written, not as you read into it. And you leave it for what God says. Now, outside of that hybrid person, there is the person who just disregards the need to follow a standard at all. They say, hey, I lived all the years of my life thus far doing good. I don't need a Bible at all. I don't need to measure anything at all. It's like the house builder that says, I've never used a tape measure and a house hasn't fallen apart yet. They probably built my house. You know, the kind where you're supposed to find a stud as you measure, and they're supposed to be, what, 16 inches apart? 24, whatever. And the guy that built the house, some of them are like 2.5 feet. Others are 14 inches. You're sitting there measuring. Oh, I'll be able to drive a nail here. Nope, nothing there. That guy eyeballed it. I don't need a standard. I'm good at this. I've been doing this for X amount of years. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 15. Says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. And as you go through the Bible, especially the book of Proverbs, says it again in Proverbs 21:2 and Proverbs 30 verse 12. The fool is right in his own eyes. He doesn't measure according to a standard. He's right in his own eyes. He's not going to listen to anything reasonable. This person's going to argue. They're going to make statements like, well, I believe. Well, I just know it's right. God's word is always right. When we walk away from it to our own measurements, that's when we're wrong. Now, those people want to measure themselves without a standard. And they're wrong for doing it. What we do need to do is do proper examinations with the standard, with the Word of God. Going back to what we read in James 1, 21 through 25, looking into that perfect law of liberty, I need to look into it with a true desire to measure myself and come up with a real and right conclusion. Look at Ezekiel 18. 27 and 28. Ezekiel 18, 27 and 28. Says again, when the wicked man turneth from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. But he considereth, and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. It has to be right self-examination. Have you ever met the person? Well, you have. You just may not know it. But maybe another person. But who will go so far to prove that their own conclusions are right that once they can't twist the scripture, they'll look to historical writings of members of churches just to find the writer who says, hey, you're right in what you decided. They'll spend hours, days, and months to find somebody to justify their conclusion. That's not honest self-examination. You can't help such a person who works so hard to be right, but not right according to God, right in their own eyes. We need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Not whether we be right because we made our mind up. Whether we be in the faith, the Lord. Set aside what preachers will tell you or what good intended people will tell you, what counselors will tell you. Ask yourself, what's the real standard tell me about me? When I measure myself, what does the Bible say I am? And from there, look back at Psalm 37. From that mindset of, I'm going to approach it right. I'm going to examine myself right. Psalm 37 and verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And as you go through the Bible, you know, it's not man that walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10, 23. As you go through the Bible, you allow God to judge you, God to be your standard, not your own reasoning, not your, I want to fit this in. You know, that goes back to what we talked about earlier. When you come to the Lord, you need to set aside your thinking. Don't look for the verses that are going to let you do what you want to do. Because you know what you're going to find? That you're going to twist those verses so that you can do what you want to do. And so you can walk away feeling justified. Well, here's another problem. Those people that don't seek to be right, but seek to be justified in what they're doing. And you know what? We all can be that person. We can all be that person that wants to say or do something so bad that we find a way to twist something to justify it. How's the Lord feel about that? People that try to justify themselves in man's ways or using man's logic or etc. Look at Luke 16:15. If I want to justify myself to be right in the sight of men, whether it be myself or others, where does that put me with God? Luke 16:15. Luke 16:15, he said to them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So you may measure up to men, whether it be you or others." And what's God thinking about it? An abomination. A disgusting, detestable, hated thing. Oh, but I studied the Bible. I came away with a way to justify what I want to do. That's what you've done. You've twisted something to justify what you want to do. Look at Romans 10. We can't create our own standard. If we create our own standard, we're going to fail in obeying God. Romans 10, 1 through 3 says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them the record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." You've met these people. I've met these people. They're zealous. They're active. They open their Bible, but they're not doing it right. And as Paul said, not according to knowledge. They may know some verses, but they don't care about the ones that will help them be right. They may open that Bible, but they're staying ignorant of God's righteousness. Why? Because they've already decided what's right and what's wrong. They already have a conclusion. Sometimes, you know, when you're talking to that person, they say, "Well, I believe." And you ask them, "Well, what scripture led you to that belief?" And then you hear their explanation, and you know for an absolute fact that they're not honest. That they've turned that scripture on its head. Some people turn it on its head and shake it to death just to reach that conclusion. You're going about to establish your own righteousness. You're going to try to fit 48 inches into 36-inch holes. It's not going to work. Something's got to give. You've got to step back and say, either my measurements are wrong, or the standard I'm using is wrong. But I can't keep trying to put what doesn't fit where it doesn't fit. And if I'm honest, I'm going to see that often what stands in the way of me and God is me. Not even other people. Me. Real self-examination. Or you could get self-righteous and become deceived. Look at Galatians 6. Here's the point. A lot of people come here. A lot of people reach the conclusion, "Oh, I'm not right." So then they look at the Bible and they just decide they don't want to go so far as to be right. They only want to go part of the way. So then they find ways to deceive themselves into thinking that part of the way is the right way. Galatians 6:3, "If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Self-deception. Don't use God's word to deceive yourself. See yourself for what you really are in the mirror that is His word. Be honest about it. See where you are. But what about those people that they're doing good works? They open their Bibles all the time. Not long ago, I heard someone poking fun at Jehovah's Witnesses. And not that Jehovah's Witnesses are right. I think we all know that. Looking at who's here today, I don't think I need to get into that discussion. You know that they're not God's people. But wait a minute, Sheila. No, I'm just joking. You know, I look at you when... but they were poking fun at Jehovah's Witnesses and how those Jehovah's Witnesses are going door to door. And this person said, "Why do they even open a Bible? They're not going to do it." And I had to look at this person and say, "That's you. That's you. How come you're looking at verses and not doing them?" It's real easy to say, "Look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him." But what about me? I'm no different than the Jehovah's Witness that goes door to door. No matter how zealous I might be, if I'm going to look into God's Word and not do it, I'm just going to deceive myself. I'm just going to make myself think I'm something when I'm nothing. Or maybe I get to that point. We had a good discussion in Bible class today where those people that think there's degrees of heaven and hell, and that they're going to work harder and get some higher reward. So there are people out in the world that are doing all kinds of religious things. People that will go to huge lengths to convince themselves that they're right with God. But there's a sad reality coming. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Just because you're busy doing spiritual things, just because you've got yourself to a point where you think you're right. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Did you hear that? I never knew you. There are people that have followed the steps to become a Christian who have never left themselves behind, who have been a servant to self all along. They've just done it while wearing a t-shirt that says, "I'm a Christian," in essence. I've got a Dallas Cowboy football jersey. I might put it on today. No, probably not. I can put that jersey on. That doesn't mean I play for the team. You can carry a Bible. You can open it. You can study it. You can sit in a pew. You can sit in a pew among faithful people. But if you're not doing the Word of God, you've made yourself incorrectly. You put on a jersey just to deceive yourself. If you'll be part of the Lord's family, it's got to be through honest self-examination and measuring yourself correctly, putting in place things we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We talked about the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. An honest person recognizes that. It's different for every one of us, so there's not a blanket statement there either. But there's something that you may be able to be tempted in. Proper measuring says, "Hey, I know I'm weak here. I'm staying away from it. I'm going to steer clear. I'm going to put measures in place to keep me from doing these kinds of things." Honestly measuring yourself is what starts that way of thinking, according to God's standard. In conclusion, I want you to look over at Luke 18. And as we read this, ask yourself, who was justified? The person that measured himself by his own standard, or the other who was honest? Luke 18, beginning verse 10, says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." By the way, both were despised anyway. Both known to be sinners, tax collectors, were crooks. Verse 11, "The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess." Think about this guy, right? Who's he talking to? Every time I read this, I still, you know that statement where you say, "Nothing will surprise me, I've seen everything." I've read these verses hundreds of times and still am shocked that somebody will actually talk to God like this in a prayer. Nonetheless, he did. Verse 13, "The publican, standing far off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." The question is, how do you measure yourself? By yourself or by his standard? And when you do measure yourself by his standard, do you do it honestly? The Word of God only works on a good and honest heart. Luke 8:15. That's something that ultimately, for many of us, is a question only you can answer. So as you sit here today and we close our Bibles and we get ready to open our song books, examine yourself by his standard, not by yours, by his. And ask yourself, where do I stand with God? Because when you stand in the judgment day, "I think and I believe will not get, enter thou in, thy good and faithful servant." Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him that last day." John 12:48. This book is God's standard of judgment. Use it now. Be ready. You don't want to hear, I never knew you. You don't want to hear, depart. You want to hear, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. If you're not a Christian and you're here today, take the opportunity. You've heard the gospel. If you're here today, everyone that's here today has heard it plenty of times. You know, through faith, confession, repentance, you can be immersed into Christ. You can be added to His body, the church. You can be part of this congregation working with us to go to heaven. Or if you are already and you need our help, maybe you've measured yourself and you found out the refrigerator just isn't going to fit. Maybe you need to take it back. Maybe you need some help getting on the right path. Got some broad shoulders around here that can help bear your burdens. If you've got a good and honest heart, we'd like the opportunity as we stand and sing.